When you open just about any Bible, and I don't care what translation it is, you see there where it's got all of the chapters and all of the verses and everything, but we have to understand that when the scriptures were written, those didn't exist. They were attached later on to make it simply easier to navigate through all of the books. And so at times we tend to read these things as, well, okay, this is this chapter, this is this chapter, and Luke never intended to write it that way. That was our attempt to sort of divide it as we saw appropriately. But as you look at this particular section, we look at the story of Zacchaeus today, and he's the only one of the synoptic gospels that has this, but it's actually part of a little bit bigger section of Luke's gospel. The section just before this, the man is blind and he wants Jesus to enable him to see, and Jesus, well, good for you, your faith has saved you. And if you back up a little bit, there's the story of another leader of the community that comes up to Jesus and asks him, he says, well, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus gives him a couple of commandments. And he says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do that. And he says, I've observed those my whole life. And all the people standing around said, ooh, good for you. This is a good man. And then we jump forward to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And they didn't like them in those days. Not just because they were collecting taxes, but the taxes were being sent back to Rome. And that's how Rome was paying for the army that occupied the Holy Land. And so they didn't like tax collectors. They thought they were public sinners. And even when Jesus goes to eat with this man, what does it say the people did? They grumbled. He's eating with sinners. And so we have this man that has kept all these commandments since his youth. And the people applaud him. And we have Zacchaeus, a public sinner. And the people start to grumble because Jesus is eating with a sinner. But it's very interesting to see what happens to these two people. Because Jesus goes on talking to this man, this ruler. And he says, good for you. But at the end he says, well, do these things. Oh, but by the way, I forgot. There's one other thing I want you to do. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, then you can be my disciple. And the man couldn't do it. The man couldn't do it. He went away sad. And then we look at Zacchaeus. Remember, the people were applauding this man. Oh, he's obeyed all the commandments. And here's Zacchaeus, a public sinner, and they grumbled because Jesus went to eat with him. And so what does Zacchaeus say? Lord, I'm going to give my money to the poor. And when you look at the Greek, the verb sort of denotes that this is going to be an ongoing thing. This is not just something that Zacchaeus said, I'm going to do today. He said, no, from now on, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my money, I'm going to share it with the poor. And if I have cheated anybody, which meant that he had to go back and he had to go through his records. I mean, there's no indication that he did cheat anybody, but he says, if I did, inadvertently, if I cheated anybody, I will pay them back four times over, which was more than the law commanded. And Jesus compliments him. Today, salvation has come to this house. And so the man, the ruler that had the money, kept all these commandments, and yet he ends up walking away. Zacchaeus, the public sinner, ends up being commended by Jesus because salvation has come to the house this day. And there's a very interesting line in one of the commentaries that I was reading about this particular section. And he had this to say. Only the ruler, and there's a couple of people, as I said, this is a bigger section of people that were willing to accept Jesus on faith. Only the ruler whose piety was perfect but whose possession closed him to the possibility of new life turned aside and with great sorrow. And when you look at Luke, he's sort of identified as the gospel of the poor. Because so many of the times in Luke's gospel, Jesus affiliates himself with the poor, the downtrodden, the outcast. Luke reminds his readers once again that the disposition of the heart is symbolized by the disposition of possessions. The one who clings to his wealth is equally close to the prophet's call. And when Luke says the prophet, he's talking about Jesus. The one who shares generously with the poor can welcome the prophet gladly. And it's that big question. You know, and again, there's nothing wrong with possessions. The people that say money is the root of all evil are wrong. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because if we place our stuff and our possessions before God, that is simply idolatry. Pure and simple. It means you are worshiping something or something in your life is greater than your God or more important than your God. And that's idolatry. And so there's nothing wrong with money. We need it practically. There are bills to be paid, etc., etc. But we get down to the question, though. Do we own the money or does the money own us? And Luke would ask us that question. And he would say, look at the different response from the man that, oh, I obeyed all the commandments, but his possessions owned him. He couldn't give them up. And here's Zacchaeus, that public sinner, willing to give all his possessions away. I will give it to the poor. If I've defrauded anybody, I will pay them back four times over, much more than the law commands. Today, salvation has come to this house because Zacchaeus was saying there's something, there's a reality greater than wealth, and that's God, and that's God. But the ruler, that rich man, that other one, couldn't do it. He could not do it, and he closed himself off to the faith in Jesus Christ that leads to salvation. He couldn't do it. And so, as I said, I just love that phrasing about Luke reminds his readers once again that the disposition of the heart is symbolized by the disposition of possessions. So what's the most important thing in our lives? It tells us something about where our heart is. Is it God? Or is it stuff? Or anything else? The disposition of the heart is symbolized by the disposition of possessions. The one who clings to his wealth is equally close to the prophet's call. The one who shares generously with the poor can welcome the prophet. Again, money in and of itself is not evil. But we do have to answer the question at some point. Do we own the money, or does the money own us?